Welcome to episode 531 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. Note here that the psalmist, in this case David, declares that he gives thanks, he expresses gratitude, and he sings praise because that is what is due to the Lord. The Lord is righteous. That is a constant. Whatever the circumstances in which one finds oneself, one thing never changes. The Lord is righteous. We give thanks not necessarily because all is right in the world. We give thanks not necessarily because all dreams have come true. We give thanks not necessarily because we have had a mountaintop experience. We give thanks because 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We give thanks because Philippians 4 verse 6 tells us, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We give thanks because Ephesians 5 verse 20 tells us to give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks because Psalm 100 verse 4 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. It's easy to remember to be thankful when there is healing, when there is deliverance, when there is a breakthrough, when there is a promotion, when she says yes, when he comes home, when the storm passes. It's easy to remember to be thankful in the holiday season, when the world is talking about good tidings or being of good cheer, when there are parties, when there are bonuses, or even when there are holidays called Thanksgiving. But can we be full of gratitude not because of what time of year it is or because of what has happened, but just because of who God is? Can we cultivate lives of gratitude? Can Thanksgiving be a state of being for us? Daniel was born into a noble life, but became enslaved as a teen. He was exiled from his homeland, cut off from family and friends, and trained to assimilate into a pagan culture. Yet Daniel followed God with his whole heart and continually distinguished himself during the rise and fall of two kingdoms. When the Persian king wanted to promote Daniel to second highest in the kingdom, rival officials conspired to take him down. They convinced King Darius the Mede to issue an irrevocable edict, pray to the king or suffer the lion's den. With his life at risk, Daniel could have succumbed. He could have accused God of injustice, but Daniel remained steadfastly faithful. This is what happened in Daniel 6 verse 10. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room, with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Daniel chose gratitude despite the risk. Being a child of God was the reason why. Unlike Daniel, Jonah found himself in dire straits of his own making. God had told this prophet to go warn Nineveh of imminent judgment if they did not repent. Instead, Jonah jumped the next ship to Tarsus. When a violent storm threatened to capsize his escape vessel, Jonah knew it was God's judgment for him and told the sailors to throw him overboard. He was promptly swallowed by a large fish. Jonah could have sulked or given up, but in the belly of the fish, Jonah 2 verse 1 says that Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He repented, and this is what he said in verse 9, "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you." After Jonah's prayer with gratitude, God commanded the great fish to spit him up on dry land, and the forgiven man headed to Nineveh to preach. Jonah was thankful because he recognized who God was. beloved by her husband, but barren of children, Hannah endured contempt and taunts from her husband's other wife, who had many children. Hannah had difficulty eating because of her anguish. In deep pain, she went to the tabernacle and cried out to God, promising if he gave her a son, she would give him back for lifelong service. God did give Hannah a son, and once weaned, she took him, a boy named Samuel, to live with the priest in Jerusalem. Hannah neither regretted nor resented her promise. Instead, she was deeply grateful. Though she loved Samuel, Hannah chose to worship the giver, not his gift. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 2, she praises the Lord. There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Paul gave thanks in the middle of a storm. This story in Acts 27 reads like a modern-day action-adventure. The Apostle Paul had been imprisoned and put on a ship for Rome under Roman guard. The ship was soon caught in a violent hurricane. The crew first tried to hold the ship together by passing ropes underneath. Then they threw cargo and later ship's tackle overboard. By the 14th day, when they'd seen neither sun nor stars, they gave up all hope of being saved. But that night, an angel appeared to Paul in a dream, assuring him no one would die. The storm raged on, and the ship looked like it would be dashed against rocks. They dropped four anchors and prayed for daylight. No one had eaten for 14 days. And just before sunrise, Paul urged everyone to eat to regain strength. In the midst of the storm, Paul took bread, gave thanks to God before the entire ship, broke the bread, and distributed it. The next day, all aboard made it safely to shore. Paul was grateful to a God who is faithful, even when all hope seems to be lost. If Paul gave thanks, not after the storm had passed, but right in the midst, we can give thanks in our storms as well. Jesus gave thanks before there was enough. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he was grieving deeply, having just learned his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded. He was also weary and tried to get away to a quiet spot with his apostles for rest. But the crowds followed, and with great compassion, Jesus taught them for hours. Seeing the people were hungry, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, according to Matthew 14, verse 19. The apostles distributed the food to the crowd. The people ate until satisfied, and they gathered 12 baskets of leftovers. God will meet our needs. We may not see it yet, but God has promised and he will do it. When we ask God to meet our needs, we can thank him in advance for his sure provision. On the eve of the Last Supper, Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 15, that he had eagerly desired to eat this Passover with his apostles. Knowing he was about to be betrayed, arrested, mocked, beaten, and crucified, Jesus gave thanks. In fact, Jesus paused 3 times during the Passover meal to give thanks. Jesus gave thanks for bread and wine that represented his broken body and his blood, which would be shed for us. Jesus gave himself to God and to the world, not with coercion, but with gratitude, grateful for the privilege of obeying his Father and fulfilling the mission he'd been sent to earth to complete. Whether it's your best day, your worst day, some Tuesday, or your birthday, every day is a good day. Now let me tell you why. If you've got air in your lungs, if you've got blood in your body, you are a child of God. Come on and sing it, somebody. On my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm still a child of God. Oh, every day is a good day, and God is the reason why. Father, we're so deeply grateful that whatever the day, whether it's our best or whether it's our worst, we are still blessed. We are still your children, and we have reason to be thankful and to give you praise. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.